You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is The Comedy Cellar Show on SiriusXM 99 Raw Dog. The voice you're hearing is Dan Natterman. That is because Noam is not here this week. He is, it's his anniversary of marriage, and so he's celebrating that. And so he's left me with the show. And we have with us Phil Hanley.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Well, I didn't invite you. But
you really didn't? Are you serious?
No, it was Calabria. But I didn't say no.
Oh, okay. Wow, that means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't do the booking.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if people needed to know that, but yeah.
Well, I think they'd like to know the inside story goes on here. We have a gentleman that I'm not familiar with personally, but the name I've heard, Bill Schultz.
Thank you for having me.
Wait again, that wasn't
I'm
my idea.
I'm the one non-funny person here. Yeah, everyone, I think we need to mix it up by not having a comedian. I'm bringing the journalism.
Well, we often have journalists on the show.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's not uncommon for us to have journalists.
Well, I listen all the time.
Oh. And your cousin, who is a comedian.
And didn't even know I was coming, by the way.
You didn't? It was a big surprise. Andrew Schultz, who's been on the show a few times, I think.
I have, yeah.
And so here we are.
Eating food like a three-year-old.
I finished
punched
it.
Over his plate. Ugh,
now, Bill,
disgusting. True.
Bill, you're a journalist. I know... no, not really?
Well, you know, I guess legally I could call myself that.
You're here, by the way, with a young lady. Is that your boo thing?
No, well, I'll tell you something. I've known... when I first started being a journalist, and it was in Lab Mags, which doesn't really count...
It was in
we were at Dez Publishing, same company that made Maxim. We were at Stuff Magazine with a guy that hosted Red Eye with Greg Gutfeld. He was our editor-in-chief. And he's still at Fox News. I'm not.
Is Stuff Magazine still a thing?
No. It failed, as so many magazines have. But it was after Tosh and I left. That's why
I see.
It failed.
So yeah. So Tosh, what's her relationship with you?
She's my sister. Can't you tell?
Well,
we look
it's not
exactly
obvious.
Alike.
She's
a gorgeous, gorgeous woman of Indian descent. And we've known each other for about 20 years.
Okay.
We should start.
More?
What's that?
We should start the show.
Come on, Phil. I don't like negative. You're bringing negative energy, too.
I'm sorry, Dan.
You're bringing negative energy.
You didn't book me. You're the most tanned man I've seen in New York City.
I work outside. Yeah, Andrew was just saying that. Like, I'm a freelance writer, so I found a hotel right near me where I can work on the roof, take their Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to hesitate to mention it. It's the pod on 51st and in between 3rd and 2nd. And that way I don't go stir crazy. So I can write articles outside, get a little...
By the way, we're at the tail end...
Vitamin D.
Speaking of tan, we're at the tail end of Pride Month.
Pride is a month or a week?
I believe it's a month.
Like, I thought it was a tail day. End euphemism.
Pride week.
That was really inappropriate.
Well, yes. Yeah, so, well, that was accidental. But
it's a week. Pride week.
No, I believe Pride is the whole month of July.
No, Ramadan is a month. Pride is the week.
Well, be that as it may, we're in the Pride season.
Yeah, we are.
And I don't know if they have that. Phil's from Canada. I don't know if they have Pride.
Yeah, we have it. I don't know. I think it's different. I'm from Vancouver, and they have a big Pride. It's like one of the biggest in the world,
I think. Are Jews allowed to be prideful?
Of course.
In Canada? Not in Chicago.
Oh, is that true?
Well, yeah. there was a march the Dyke March, I guess, in Chicago, where people
were... referred to it as that. He's not just saying that to be insensitive.
Somebody was marching with the rainbow flag.
Uh-huh.
With a Star of David.
With a Star of David on the flag.
Yeah.
And
people complain.
In that
people complain. Are you of a gay persuasion?
I get it all the time.
No, he's not.
I get it all
okay,
the time.
Because it's slightly the lilt in his voice.
It's offensive that you were offended that I might be gay. What if I was, Andrew? We're still
absolutely,
related.
Andrew.
You assume that I was offended.
Wow.
I'm just fascinated that he went
I'm
from
related
asking
to a homophobe.
If you had a boo... to being certain that you were gay within 2.5 minutes.
No, I wasn't certain of either.
I thought he
all you
if
said
I had
was,
a boy.
I like to write articles on a rooftop, and he was like, no, this guy's a queer.
Yeah,
this guy's definitely
no, he had
queer.
I don't blame
absolutely.
You for thinking that.
There's a certain, you know, the lilt in his voice, but
I neither,
it's a certain rhythm of his voice. I neither thought that he was necessarily gay, nor that she was necessarily his boo. I'm inquiring.
You might have to help me out with this, Tosh.
So, talk about the dykes hating the Jews.
I'll get to that, but I did you grow up in New York, Andrew?
I did.
Because I had a question. I grew up in the suburbs, and there was no gay awareness. Now, I'm older than you are, but back
that's
in
correct.
The... Yes.
I can tell.
Back in the 80s, we were completely clueless that people might actually be gay.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So I grew up in the
I thought
East
in New York
Village,
is it different?
Manhattan.
Yeah.
My parents owned a dance studio. They would teach partner dancing. So I was very aware of homosexuality.
Sheltered from homosexuality.
Completely sheltered. None of it. I didn't see
And
it.
This was in the 90s, I guess?
Yes,
yeah, so
this
came
is the 90s. But in all seriousness, there was gays everywhere. To be honest, my downstairs neighbor was gay and died from AIDS.
Wow.
Died from AIDS. So it's not only...
Wow,
was I,
that's a fun fact.
Jesus. Well, it was just interesting. It's like not a lot of people know anybody who's died from AIDS, but we hear about it as an epidemic. But I was actually familiar that it could kill people. So I was very in tune with the fact that there were gay people and there was a disease
that was
afflicting
them. So when you had sex with them, you wore rubber.
Obviously.
Thank you.
Obviously.
When I was,
holy mouth.
I just remember in the 80s when my teachers would make gay cracks and we didn't think anything of it.
What do you mean they would make gay cracks?
Well,
you?
Like, for example, like...
Your gym teacher.
No, my Mr. DeFeo, my...
You climbed that rope like a real queen, Adam. And
he might have said that. He wouldn't have been wrong. But, I mean, in the stereotypical sense. But my English teacher in ninth grade, he used to, like, say to the young girls, like, hey, you look good today. And they would go, Mr. DeFeo, you're such a perv. And he'd go, that's not perverted. If I said Dan looked good, that'd be perverted.
Ah.
So, in other words, he's basically saying being gay is a perversion.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah, that's a suburban thing.
And
I
maybe
mean,
that's
grew up
a suburban
Chicago.
Thing.
Yeah.
And I had a music teacher that there was a department store called Two Guys. It's no longer in existence. So I remember my music teacher said to me, hey, Dan, I hear there's a store named after your parents. Two Guys. And again,
that's not bad. I kind of like that.
And again, I'm just wondering if it's because I don't think that would happen today.
No, well, I think that, I mean, I'm sure people still make homophobic comments.
Has the show started yet, Phil? I think this is actually
I was just kidding. I was trying to add a little humor. I don't think people, I think people would still make a homophobic comment, but the difference would be it would be like a huge deal. Like your parents would come into the school, your dad, sorry, would come into the school to
my
protest
two dads,
that.
My two dads would come in. Yeah. But they wouldn't probably make it because now people just know better. You don't say that shit.
Yeah.
It would be considered wrong now.
But people still say it, but it would be like a huge, it would be like an article in the paper.
But people, I think, say it less.
I'm sure that people say it less. Yeah.
But I'm wondering if in New York City, in those days, they probably were aware that, you know.
That like making gay jokes was wrong?
Right.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think that there was, which kind of makes it even worse because people are that aware of homosexuality but still making the cracks. So in a lot of ways, I guess you could say, we were more offensive. At least in the suburbs, you just didn't have gay people. So you're making fun of a group of people that don't exist.
They would have been more likely closeted.
Do you remember Zorro the Gay Blade?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, oh, it was like, what's his name? He's like one of the KFC guys. He's the really tan one. George Hamilton.
Yes.
Yeah. Zorro the Gay Blade. It's one of my dad's favorite movies. And...
I'm listening. Go on.
He played a Zorro. It's such a weird movie. It's like late 70s, and he plays Zorro, and he also plays his gay brother. And his gay brother has to take over for him when he's gay. And I remember watching as a kid and being like, oh, this guy's the funnier brother. Like, I had no idea that, like, this guy sucks cock. I this guy's a lot more fabulous than the other brother. And you watch the movie now, it's still kind of funny. But it's just the worst gay stereotypes you've ever seen in your entire life. But George Hamilton's actually great in it. But I remember being in the burbs of Chicago, like, I had no idea what gay was. I didn't know that was a thing. And I was just like, George Hamilton wears the flamboyant Zorro outfits.
I didn't know that gay was... I knew that there was such a thing as gay, but I didn't know it was associated with, hey.
Right.
I don't think it was to the extent. I think that's kind of the modern... gay man.
So you think gay guys have gotten gayer?
No, I just think I think that's the stereotype in like Hollywood. If you're going to cast
that's
a gay guy in a movie, he's going to have a line in the movie that is, hey.
I think that's a stereotype.
I remember my sister told me, the first time I learned what homosexuality was, my sister told me, and I just thought it was like, come on, nobody does that. I mean, to me it was like, it was the phenomenon like saying like a guy with a cyclops, you know? It doesn't actually exist.
Right.
I just thought it was the craziest thing I'd ever heard.
I remember when we were younger, our gay jokes really weren't about like two guys butt fucking each other. They were more about this stereotype, which is like the effeminate guy. So and it's now there's this term that's kind of gained popularity called cuck. Have you heard of this term?
Yes.
It's short for cuckold.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's like women that are, wait, they're
no,
married.
It's a guy. No, it's a guy whose wife, he likes to watch his wife get fucked by another guy.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about this term is it's kind of gained popularity with like the real far right, maybe the alt-right even. But it's a very interesting term, I feel like, because it kind of encapsulates what we wanted when we were making gay jokes, right? It's just like a super beta male guy who would allow another guy to fuck him. And the best thing about the term is, you know, if you say the word, you know, fag or whatever like that, it's very offensive because people identify as gay. Nobody identifies as a cuck. So you could use this word.
But people don't use it in that context. Now, you could start to introduce it that way. People have been using it in a more political context.
Well, now it's just like if you're a pussy, you're a cuck.
Ah, you're a cuck.
I've heard it more in like the context
you voted
where the
for Bernie Sanders, you cuck.
Where the alt-right uses it for white people.
I want
people.
Another example.
Another one? Okay.
What do you like? Healthcare, you cuck?
Okay.
I'm adopting this in my vernacular.
I just haven't heard it used in that way.
Yeah. Skim milk, you cuck.
It's a harsh because it sounds like cock, so it's kind of harsh. It's got the two K's in there.
I don't, lots of C.
It's a little too harsh for my taste.
Just give it a try. Throw it out there.
Well, I'll do it on my own good time.
That sounds like a it's cuck thing to say.
It's marinating. I'm seeing it coming out.
Phil, are you doing the brunch show again? Did you know we had brunch show?
Yeah,
I did.
Speaking of, so good. It's really fun.
Yeah,
we're bringing this around like stereotypical gay thing brunch. Okay, whatever. But we all love brunch.
Yeah, I love a brunch.
We all love Air Supply and brunch.
I'm a cuck though, so. Yeah, no, the brunch shows have been great. I think this would be.
Are they eating a lot during the show? That would be my biggest.
We
concern.
Eat. No, I think I've been going on late. We have brunch. The comics have brunch at the table, which is delightful, and people have a couple mimosas. And then, yeah, the crowds have been gangbusters. They drink. I know they're certainly drinking during the day.
But are they eating eggs and, like, elaborate?
I have not noticed. So I would say that's not a problem. No.
The one thing, I did a brunch show once, and I must say I didn't feel the audience was that great. Right. In addition to which, it wasn't full. Liz, I don't know if we could get Liz, the manager,
here. Yes, get Liz on the mic.
Liz, now, I've noticed the brunch shows have not been full. Is that because we're not overbooking enough, do you think?
We're not overbooking the brunch shows because people need room to eat. So they eat before. They come
I'm
in, they
100%
eat before.
Supportive of this eating before thing. Yeah. I thought you're eating this elaborate brunch thing.
No, I mean, there is like an elaborate brunch meal. Like
during
menu.
The show.
Yeah, I mean, they can, but they've already been there for half an hour before the show starts, so they've eaten.
This I'm
and
okay
we have a
with.
DJ, and it's like, you it's, know, it's like a party.
They're loaded with eggs, and they're burping mimosas.
It's been great.
And mimosas.
And like, yeah,
it's
I mean,
a party.
I'm fine if
it's
the
like
food
Bagatelle
is ingested
brunch.
Before.
Bagatelle brunch.
Bagatelle brunch.
Bagatelle comedy brunch.
Do we know what Bagatelle
is? I don't know.
Now, you know your cousin.
Explain to them what Bagatelle brunch is.
I don't know what a Bagatelle
party.
Brunch
is. Oh, it's just God. Like a party.
It is just.
No, it's party. It's like a party brunch atmosphere.
People are buying bottles. There's fucking champagne things going on.
Bill, you know your cousin better than I do.
Yeah.
Is he a brunch act? Is he a brunch kind of a guy?
Is he a brunch act?
Schultz? No.
Yeah, you would be a brunch act.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, there's some acts that I.
Oh wait, like, so what's a brunch act?
You think Schultz is a brunch act?
Well, like, what kind of comic would be a brunch act?
People I don't even understand this. Upset 48% of the audience.
Yeah.
So
basically,
they offend more easy. And,
no, I think Schultz offends more easily.
Well,
you offend people, right?
He offends me
right?
by looking at him, but
so
I've realized what this is about.
What?
It's. A way for me to trust the laugh. So it's like, I know what to say for you to laugh. Like, I know the way, men are so dumb, and then you laugh. But if I piss you off with the premise and still get you to laugh at it, then I can go, oh, you really thought that was funny. You're not laughing because you agree with this politically or whatever. So, yeah, it's just a way for me to trust
brunch?
Humans.
You're right, I don't know that would
it's often my relationship with humans in a lot of ways. It's like I piss you off initially, and then after you're like, oh, I hated you at first, but I like you now. But it's a way to trust your emotional reaction.
I was listening to a monkey talk about humans.
The thing about Schultz is, and a lot of comics, this applies to a lot of comics, Schultz looks like a frat boy.
Yep.
So he gets up on stage, and the girls are like, fuck him. You know, because he's going to fuck me and not call the next day.
On like all the MTV shit and all of that too. So they have that preconceived notion.
Well, their kids saw them on MTV. They're teenage kids.
Yeah, maybe not a 40-year-old female. Maybe
no. I think a lot of members of the audience know Schultz from his MTV
Most of them grew up watching those shows.
How well known is Schultz? I'm in my bubble
here. In the MTV generation.
I don't know if Schultz is.
How long did you do those?
I thought that was like in the last few years.
I did those. I haven't done them maybe in a few years, but Girl Code and Guy Code, I think I did those maybe starting about 5 years ago.
Okay. That would make sense.
I love them. I watched them because
so
I had
happens
but
is
I liked
those,
them.
Those shows.
I don't get it.
It was interesting. Those shows were... This is like laundry, like do your laundry television, right? They're just on constantly rerunning, so people watch them. But everybody watched them for whatever reason. Guy Code and Girl Code, incredibly popular for these kids, anywhere from 16 to like mid 20s, and then these 16 to mid 20 kids became college kids, and then became 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
So it's just this thing that was very popular. It's interesting. I've been on TV for the last 5 years. There's a complete difference between being on a hit show and being on a show. I was on Benders on IFC. Nobody watched it. It was like not being on TV at all. I was on Guy Code on MTV, too. And it's just unbelievable the amount of people that watch it. It's just crazy.
And but here's a guy that got laid anyway.
Correct.
And so the TV is just the TV is just icing on the cake for him. Whereas I need TV.
Yeah, well, I didn't do it to get laid. Like, I'd never done comedy to get laid.
Because you didn't need it.
Correct. But I think in a way it's more honest that way, because now I'm not doing jokes so that I can fuck a girl after the show. I'll do a joke that might make a girl not want to fuck me after the show.
I do jokes so I can make love after the show.
Now, look, that's an interesting topic.
I'm not as mature as Phil.
It's an interesting topic about comics trying to be cool versus trying to be funny. Now, I will always err on the side of funny, but it does enter my mind. I recently wrote a joke about I have a like my back hurts.
Yeah.
And so when I get up, it's like, you know, after if I'm sitting down for a while.
Uh-huh.
So that's not the joke, but that's
the
premise.
I'm pretty hard, by the way.
But the point is, okay, the joke is funny, people are laughing, but obviously it's not sexy.
No, that is not sexy.
Okay, to be an old fool with a bad back.
Right.
But I err on the side of funny because that's what I do. But there are comics that err on the side of cool.
I err on the side of funny.
I would hope we all err on the side of funny.
Yeah. I would really hope everybody.
But there are some.
Well, I would hope everybody errs on the side of funny. But there's
your shirt errs on the side of sexy, though. I gotta say that is one sexy fucking
it's
shirt.
Well,
and that one button precariously off. Oh,
honestly, you're like a Jewish Enrique Iglesias.
In any case, well,
a lot of it's going on there. And
I got Dan's back on this.
You know,
one.
I'm not in.
I don't think it's sexy.
What's that? Fish just said that Jewish negates the compliment. Apparently, Fish is a self-hating Jew that doesn't feel Jews can be sexy.
Yeah, I disagree when I look at Fish.
Hey, there's a march in Chicago for you, buddy.
Apparently, there is a Jewish march.
Are you guys
first cousins? I don't see a tremendous resemblance.
We had to describe this on Sirius. Our fathers are cousins.
Yeah. So we're second cousins.
That would be second cousins.
Yep.
And that's how long it took me.
I didn't know him before. I think I met you the first time.
Well, we met one time when we met apparently at that Evanston reunion when you were like
right in Chicago
10.
A long time ago. Yeah. But then the first time
even
was here.
Then he got checks. He had braces on.
No braces.
Unfortunately, we were all related to the people he was having sex with. But it was a good reunion.
You got to keep it in the family. It fits better. You know.
And then we didn't see each other after that for 20 years.
Years.
Well, second cousin. Most people don't really know that. I mean, I know a couple of my second cousins. But that's by that time.
I've learned the hard way a couple times.
Now, but you're from a small town in Canada where maybe everybody's related.
No, I don't know. I don't think I've ever met a second cousin. But that's...
Your town probably is named Hanley, you know, Hanley,
there is
Ontario.
A Hanley, Saskatchewan. There is a Hanley. I did not live there.
Where are you from in Canada?
From Oshawa, which is like 300,000 people.
Which province is that?
Oh, then everyone's
Ontario.
Way.
It's like it's a suburb of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
But I started comedy in Vancouver. My family lives in Vancouver.
I always thought you were West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I started comedy there.
They elected a prime minister that apparently all the girls want to suck this guy's cock.
Yeah, there's a referendum about it.
He is like...
I am becoming gay, just thinking about Trudeau.
There's a referendum about Justin Trudeau?
No, I was kidding. I was tagging your oral sex joke.
My bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm so... Yeah, here's the thing. You know, I'm juggling. I'm playing like I'm a one-man band here.
Yeah.
I got three people. I got this soft-spoken Canadian wise.
Am I soft-spoken?
I got a journalist.
Uh-huh. baseball
piece of
player.
Shit, who's trust whatever. Like he is a dad
then I got
in Disney
this,
World.
I got this frat boy who I always found
grew up in a dance studio.
Grew up in a
that's
dance
a sitcom
studio.
Right there. How is that
it's
not
so
a sitcom?
Interesting. I'm the antithesis of a frat. I didn't join a frat in college. I grew up in a dance studio, yet my physique, I guess, makes me.
Well, you got the best of frat. You got the best of both worlds because
but
girls
I don't think
the best of both worlds because girls are like, well, he's hot, but he's really sensitive.
No, Schultz is not, he's not sensitive.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, but this Schultz is. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
And I'm single, ladies. Throwing it out there.
But my point about Trudeau.
See them. I'm present.
Yeah.
And mindful.
My point about Trudeau, real quickly, is I had a joke about how nobody knows who the Prime Minister of Canada is.
That was a great bit.
It was a good bit.
Oh, it's down the
back
window.
When it was
wow.
Steve, it's, now that joke's out the window because they elected Mr. Handsome.
Yeah.
And now everybody knows who he is because apparently Ivanka Trump was like crushing on him at the White House.
Yeah. So go do Prime Minister of England or
well,
something like that.
The joke works better with Canada.
But not anymore.
No, I had to throw that joke out. Lucky
what
for me.
What a bummer. That was a good joke.
It was a good joke. But I got
switch
other jokes.
Switch it to England.
I got other jokes. Now my joke is, Trudeau's the opposite of Trump. The girls are grabbing his crotch. It's not as good a joke, but it's okay.
I like it.
Yeah, but Bill Schultz likes it.
Hmm? What does Bill Schultz like?
No, that. Bill Schultz like it.
Like Bill Schultz
I like talking in third
likes
person.
It. Mm. But what are you doing now? You don't work for Stuff. You don't work for Red Eye because it's off the air.
I'm awesome is what I'm doing.
Liz is joining
it's
us.
Always impressive whenever I see Andrew because he's like, how you doing, man? I'm like, still sleeping on my couch. I have a roommate. I'm freelance writing. I got an awesome column in the New York Times on museums, which means that no one reads my column in the New York Times.
You do a weekly column on museums?
Now it's like monthly. I wish. Oh, to be the weekly on museums. Yeah.
Well, congrats. That's big. New York Times is good.
No, it's pathetic.
Well,
long story short, I'm killing it.
Hell of a tan.
By the way,
had a great
I need to borrow Grant.
I got you, baby. I got you. Anytime you need.
Does the family brag about Andrew Schultz?
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
That's not true. Yeah. My family's very conservative.
It's depressing.
Is there a show called Parent Code?
Parent Code.
Thank you.
No, but Gay Code is coming out.
How about Deadbeat Cousin Code? I can do that, yeah. Again, I need that, Grant.
What about Bill Cosby? Why don't we discuss him? What's going on with Bill? Did he was acquitted?
I believe he was acquitted, and he's planning some tour.
Yeah, he's going to teach people how not.
Well,
to
no,
get,
I read that tour has been he canceled the tour.
Oh, really?
But what about
seemed like a bad idea?
What about the fact that Bill Cosby has been?
I think it was brilliant.
Has been raping.
Of course you would.
It is a brilliant idea.
Allegedly.
It's how to teach people how to not get caught up in sexual assault accusations.
Okay. And
right?
That's not a bad idea.
So you're doubling down on your innocence. It's kind of brilliant when you think about it from a PR perspective for him.
No one believes his innocence.
The 10 jurors did, or the 12 jurors did.
Well, I guess
the most important people did.
Yeah, well, wasn't it like a hung jury for?
It was a hung, so the jury was split.
Yeah.
Right.
So six people did.
I actually think it was two.
And the jury was only deciding on a particular incident, whereas he's had many accusations, but the statute of limitations has run out, so they couldn't. They weren't.
Why
judging.
Is there a statute of limitations on rape? That's the oddest.
Well, there's
thing.
A statute of limitations on everything.
Yeah, I understand burglary. I understand.
Does it vary the crime?
Well, I think the statute of limitations. What
the statute of limitations. So, like a misdemeanor, the statute of limitations is very short. If murder, there's no statute of limitations. You murder someone in the 50s, they can still get you.
I could do some time for some of these shows I've been doing down here.
I think the statute.
Vancouver's in the house. Oh.
Wow.
I think the reason for the statute of limitations, I have a law degree, but I was never a lawyer. But if memory serves from law school, it's to encourage people not to wait forever to pursue a legal action because the longer it goes, the more difficult it becomes evidentiary to get proof and all that.
But I would assume part of that is also like you could do something if the person becomes successful and you feel like you could take some money from them.
Exactly.
Be suing. Mm-hmm. Like I would assume that's part of it as well.
Well, I mean, that might be. Although in Bill Cosby's case, he's been successful the whole time. But what about the fact that Bill Cosby's been raping now, for 30, 40 years? He's 80 years old. He's blind. He can barely move. As far as I'm concerned, he won.
Oh,
he got away with it.
Greatest rapist of all time. Even if he goes to jail for a year.
That would mean a lot to him.
Oh, absolutely. If you're a rapist, you identify. But if he goes to jail, let's say he gets a life sentence, he's going to serve 2 years of that, tops. Right? So he raped 50 girls and got 2 years in jail. He'll die within 2 years,
if
guaranteed.
If they send him
if
to jail.
If they even send him to
if
jail.
If they send him to jail.
But let's say they do. Let's say he does get sent away. You so would any rapist would take that deal.
Yes,
you could
absolutely.
Rape 50 girls, become multi-millionaire, live the life that you want
right.
raping,
he got away
and then
with
just
it.
Spend 2 years when you're blind in jail?
He got away with
fucking,
it. He got
by
away
the way,
with it.
Who would take if that? Bill Cosby ever did some sort of new bullshit fatherhood type book, I want one of the reviews from Andrew Schultz to be, you know what? He's the greatest rapist of all time.
Listen.
Andrew Schultz.
Well, no, Ryan the greatest Tomlin. Rapist of all time is someone we've never even heard of.
Actually,
the greatest rapist of all time.
Yeah.
Ryan Hamilton is the greatest rapist of all time.
Whoa, easy.
I'm just saying.
Retract that.
Can you retract that?
I'm retracting it, but
wow.
I'm saying if he
are
were.
Are we all cucks here at this table? We're comedians.
Ryan
statement? Of
yes.
course Ryan didn't do it.
Obviously,
Jesus.
Ryan didn't do it. But if he did do it, he'd be like, oh, my God, this guy.
That's why the joke's funny.
That's
wow.
why it's funny. I don't have
do
to explain
it.
But anyway.
We're explaining humor now.
You know, I don't know.
At the back table of the cellar.
I don't know if it hit.
It's funnier.
Hillary won, I guess.
It's funnier. If you know who Ryan Hamilton is, which not all of our listeners do, but
Ryan Hamilton,
Google,
very funny comic.
Google him and you will know what
Netflix
I mean.
Special.
He's the cleanest comic working today.
And a complete clean, gentleman.
Clean,
also, yes.
And he has
Ryan,
a lawsuit against Dan Natterman.
Right, immediately. Ryan can kill in any environment doing without changing his act at all. There's very few comics that can do that.
True.
Any, I've seen him, hood show, murder.
Yeah.
Preppy show, murder. Corporate, murder. It doesn't matter where it is, the act doesn't change. He murders
well,
in
people,
every single
well,
place.
The thing about Ryan is not only is he's clean, but it's real. Like, he
so
lives
genuine.
Yeah.
So
way.
Genuine.
It's
genuine.
It's not
so
just like, I'm making a decision to be clean because I think I can get more work that way.
No.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do.
I think he's so brilliant. He's one of my favorites. Unbelievable.
Well, he's great.
He's very good.
And,
great.
I'm from Idaho, which New Yorkers are the worst. What's that? You can't even tell a New Yorker where you're from. Where are you from? Ugh, you're from another place? How do you live? How do you live in another place? This is my favorite. New Yorkers say this kind of thing. I could never live anywhere else. Oh, I could never. Do you hear New Yorkers say that? The burden of living in another place. Oh. How? How do you do it? I could never live anywhere else. I think you could. I really think you could. I think if you used all your faculties and skills and really focus, you know, you might survive in a condo in Denver, you know? I can never. This is the only place I have an identity. The only place you feel comfy is every other street corner. There's a shattered man and nobody cares. That's where I feel most at home. I could never live anywhere else. But Ryan, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. I'm sorry, that's not true. I mean, what kind of assumptions are you jumping to? The audacity of that statement. I'm from a town of 1,000 people in Idaho. Do you think New Yorkers could make it there? I don't. They couldn't make it there. What happened? I don't know. He wandered off looking for gluten-free cupcakes and... Where are they? They're supposed to be right here. They're not right here. They're always right here. I need my cupcakes! 3 days later, we found a body. Turns out, he couldn't make it here.
Bill, have you actually had gigs where you've had to really censor yourself? And,
oh, yeah.
Well, and
corporates, for sure.
And how's it go?
It's I mean, it depends how filthy... If you're a dirty comic, then you're going to really struggle. I don't really swear. I'm fairly clean myself, so it's not a big deal. But you talk to a comic that's like a club comic that, you know, doesn't... That swears and stuff like that. A corporate gig's going to be nerve-wracking.
What about your subject material isn't, like, completely clean?
No, I talk about sex and stuff like that. I just don't... I just wouldn't like drop an F-bomb for no reason.
So they care more about language than they do about topics.
Yeah, I say if I'm going into a corporate, I would say, can I say anything that they would air on TV? I don't think I really have a joke in my act that they wouldn't put on TV, late night. And if they're always like, cool. I don't do a ton of corporates. But
sometimes they don't know what they want. They'll just say, do your thing, but your thing might be too much for them.
And I've switched it up on the fly, too. Like, if you do one joke that's like about sex and it doesn't hit, then I'm like,
you don't
do
start with the bukkake humor. You start, right? So you start with...
Yeah. The old rule of show business.
Bukkake humor.
You start with, I did a raw dog. And if they love that,
then maybe.
And I say maybe. Bill Schultz.
I don't think
maybe
you're sexually responsible.
You hit him with the bukkake joke. Yeah. Only if they like the raw dog joke, and even then.
I feel like there's
what's
a space between raw dog and
the
bukkake. But
colleges or corporates? What's more profitable? Well, I don't really do colleges. Corporates, I think.
I don't think anyone does colleges.
Oh yeah, corporates for sure.
I've done some colleges, but you think corporates?
If you're you are like a huge name and you do a college, I'm sure you get lots of money. But,
but you also get lots of money in corporates if you're a huge name.
The worse the environment, the more money you make in the corporate. Like, if it's the higher stakes, you get more dough.
I feel like with corporates, usually 10 grand is pretty normal, right?
No.
Are you kidding me?
Are you saying that just to piss me off? Because that's not what I get.
I honestly can't tell if you're kidding.
Look, for a college, I would say...
Well, this is obviously what Schultz is getting.
No, for a college, I would say between 5 and 7,500 would be normal for me. But for a corporate, I mean, I don't know to talk about Hamilton's money, but he's told me he's gotten some exorbitant amounts, much more than I'm making at colleges. So, and Hamilton is not like a household name.
No, he's not.
When he does become one, I'm sure that will even rise much higher. So
I assume corporates make a lot of money. Gotten $7,500 at the most once in your home country in Saskatchewan.
Oh, you told me about that
gig. I got a $7,500 gig. But my normal would be less, about five. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't get often, but if I do, it's usually in that range. Certainly,
that's still pretty great.
But I don't get it all the time, Bill Schultz.
What about the Jewish gigs? Do you do the Jewish gigs?
The amount of research I do per a stupid $500 article.
That's true.
And I hate all of you, is what it comes down to. And I hate myself.
Maybe, do you think it's your attitude that's holding you back?
That and the alcoholism.
Well, but Bill, I don't do it very often. And last week I was on a cruise ship, which is a gig that nobody wants to do. But I had nothing else on my schedule.
Right.
So I did the cruise ship.
Have you done a cruise ship, Andrew?
Never
done a cruise ship. That sounds like hell to me.
Would you ever do a cruise ship, or would you do one of those like theme cruise ships, like Impractical
like
Joker
rock and
type
roll
thing?
Yeah,
cruiser.
I'm not against it. What my issue with the cruise is similar to like what it is with doing like a casino, is that like I'm not big enough for these people to come out to see me. So they're just going to see me to take a break from gambling, from losing money, essentially. Yeah. Nobody's going to be making money and then stop, right? So, and I like to challenge an audience, right? I know. So it's like, these people don't want to be challenged. You're on vacation. You're on a fucking crew. Like, I don't want you to make me think differently about the world in any single way. Just make me laugh for a little bit. So I just feel like it's a bad environment for me whenever I'm in those gigs. So I think I would just do horribly.
See, I disagree with you. Every time I go to Foxwoods, I look at people, I'm just like, they're waiting for their minds to be changed. When they're playing roulette and they're hooked up to their emphysema machines, they're just waiting to have their mind blown.
Ooh.
And,
this is a perfect segue, by the way. I do a lot of rough segues on this show.
Yeah.
So far,
you might have noticed. But here's a segue that's smooth as silk. This is a real...
Can I ask real quick, just real quick?
You might ruin the segue,
I just
want
to ask one question. Is there a reason you've decided not to do the cruises?
It's just, like, I do corporates sometimes. Yeah, yeah. I do colleges sometimes. Corporates are just really unappealing. I mean, maybe if...
Cruises, you're saying.
Cruises, sorry.
Could
sorry,
you
cruises.
See Manly Hanley on a cruise?
Literally.
Knowing him
I just
as
don't
a human
I think
being.
You I think you
He's
could do
delicate.
Well I don't I, think that
I,
you
I think
would do
I could
poorly.
Get through it I think I could pick the right
He'd
material but
jump.
Just the idea of being so away on a boat for a week is really unappealing.
Is it stigma too? There's a stigma in comedy with cruises that it's like
yes,
you've given
is.
Up or
yes,
you've lost.
Yes, there is a stigma. I feel, and I may be delusional in this regard, I feel that my reputation is solid enough to withstand
yep
a cruise.
I would agree.
I can say I did a cruise.
It is for me.
You know, just like you, Andrew Schultz. You could say that, you enjoy Taylor Swift, and no one's going to say, "Oh, the guy's gay," because your manly reputation is so great.
It is a little cuckish of me, but I do enjoy Taylor Swift.
Oh, there wow! See, and we're all opening up.
If I admitted, so
I came from a dance background. Okay, guys, I have a soft side to me.
That's
but
beautiful.
Again, Taylor Swift is not a dancer. I mean, she's a talented treasure, but I don't think she's a dancer.
Well, I'd like to lick her asshole. Anybody else? Okay, moving on. This segue is perfect.
Although, doesn't Taylor Swift kind of look like the girl you have right before you come out? Like, I remember a lot of guys. I went to Emerson College.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But like, I went to Emerson College, and all the guys, and like, it's like poor man's NYU,
right?
Right.
And all of the musical theater majors that were straight in freshman year, they dated girls that looked like Taylor Swift. They were kind of boyish, kind of cute, and in sophomore year, they came out as gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I look at Taylor Swift.
Well, I never thought of that. I find
and
her
is there anything you want to
rather
tell
appealing.
Us, but
no, not at all. Well,
I Taylor Swift is absolutely.
I never dated Taylor Swift. I'm just saying I enjoy. I enjoy. You never go out of style. We never, you know that.
I like that song.
Yeah,
I do.
I used to.
And we were talking about gambling at the casino shows, and that brings up the topic, and this was going to be
a great segue.
Yeah.
Is the Vegas room, the Comedy Cellar, and regular listeners of the show know that the Comedy Cellar may be opening a room in Las Vegas, and it seems like I saw, you didn't know
which,
the show?
No, which
yeah.
one?
Yeah,
which, man. Where? Which,
yeah,
which
only
room?
Brunch yeah. shows, just brunch shows. So you're not going to get a lot of brunch shows.
Which casino?
The Rio.
The Rio. Why yeah. the one off the strip?
Now, when I saw George.
You guys need to be in the Cosmopolitan.
We'll work that deal out, Schultz.
But anyway,
let me
I know.
Talk to some
can
people.
You please?
Liz, true or false? You are directly involved in this enterprise.
What is she not directly involved in?
I think
this is the aorta.
I think Liz is like a partner or something.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens. But
oh shit! Get them checks, Liz. Get them checks, Liz.
Relax.
Okay, got your master's degree for a reason.
Thank you.
Where are we now? Like Noam, the last time I spoke to Noam said 80% chance it's going to happen.
I think it's still 80% chance. I think that George, you know, if it's 80% chance, you still need to be prepared. If it's 100%, so
let's put it this
doing
way:
all the
George
due
seems
diligence.
To think it's George seems to think it's a go, but you know,
80% chance you bring an umbrella, right?
Exactly.
Thank you,
Phil Hanley.
Well, thanks for the meteorological way of looking
at
things.
I'm just trying to give it a different angle to the podcast.
Now, right, Andrew,
I gotta go.
Okay, bye.
Are you serious?
Bye.
Love you. Yeah, bye.
Where are you going?
I gotta go around. The
are you going to Vegas?
Yeah, right.
Well,
now,
it's
bye.
Just as well you're leaving because we're going to talk about money now and what. And I want to know, what would it take to get Andrew Schultz to Las Vegas for a Comedy Cellar show, a full week,
mm-hmm.
say two shows a night, 15, 20 minutes. So the shows are easy.
Oh, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. It's going to be just like the Cellar. They're going to fly three or four or five of us out there. So it'll be like a Cellar show, a showcase show. And you'll be out there hopefully with some friends of yours.
I'll be honest with you, I shouldn't bargain this down, but the experience could be just so much fun. I enjoy Vegas. I think it's fun, especially if some good guys with you. You don't like Vegas?
I hate Vegas.
Oh, you said ugh.
Yeah.
I would go out for a very reasonable fee, I think. Just because...
I go out there for a reasonable fee.
You need to fly me out. You need to put me up in a hotel.
Put you in a hotel, you know, and say we give you $1,200 for the week.
I mean, you could do more than 12.
Yeah, you could do more. You could afford more than 12, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, would you do it for 12?
I just think it's a weird business model to send five guys out. It just doesn't seem viable.
Or four guys.
Four guys or girls. Come on, guys.
No, the number I heard from Noam was higher than that. I don't want to get into exact numbers.
If you want to do that, I'm not saying don't do it. I just, is it cost effective? That's the question.
Well, they'll find out. I mean, they've crunched the numbers. Noam's crunched the numbers. He seems to think it could work if they fill the room up.
I could see it being really popular. I mean,
nobody's done it.
And people stop now to get the picture of the sign. It's like a tourist attraction.
Yeah, I mean, the question is how.
It should be in New York, New York.
And an attraction for people like true comedy fans.
Of course,
there's. Can you think of another tourist attraction that's also for like the connoisseur.
And you're getting the real New York comics to go.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, it could be like, you know how the Japanese go to Hawaii to get an experience of America, but it's close.
But it's close.
Yeah. Right? Or I'm sure they do the same thing in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe this is what we could do for people on the West Coast. Instead of flying all the way over to New York to go to the cellar, boom, Vegas for the weekend. Create the exact same environment, same
tables.
Well,
the question is also how big is the Comedy Cellar name outside of our little world? And
I think it's big. That's why people come from, like, you see people now are at the shows, like, during the week from all over the world.
Yeah.
And then people stop constantly all night and take pictures of the sign. And they're not even coming to the show. It's just it's like a monument
huge
now.
You actually like Vegas now? Because I don't love Vegas. If I was going
Vegas
there with some people
it.
I
like it with friends. I think it's a lot of fun with friends. Well, I got to run to a basketball game.
He's got to go. That's why we booked two Schultzes in case one left. We have a spare.
Now we've got the lesser Schultz. I apologize.
Well, killing it, Natterman.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm always intimidated when Andrew's around because he's a real alpha male.
Yeah, I'm a real cuck. Okay, if there's one thing we learned.
Well, I didn't know that beforehand.
He's looking very cuckold. Why he's leaving right now, for the people who can't get the visual. I don't feel bad about...
Well, Hanley, what do you think of Vegas?
I'm not a huge Vegas fan, because I find it to be a pain in the ass. Like, if you forget something in your room, and then it's like a 25-minute walk back to your room. Like, I hate that everything you do, you have to go through the casino. I don't know.
And you get lost in it, and it's set up that way. It's awful.
And I don't gamble. Like, it's not...
Holmes, do you... Anyway, Pete Holmes just walked in. I was wondering if he wanted to say a few words. But to Pete Holmes. Well, never mind. You want to sit down? This is Bill's girlfriend?
Natasha Delano.
Natasha.
She's a high-powered executive at iHeartMedia.
At iHeartMedia.
iHeartRadio, yes.
iHeart.
I'm familiar with radio.
I think they play me on iHeartRadio. Steve, could you see if maybe Pete Holmes... Steve? Calabria? Could you see if maybe...
He's visibly ignoring you.
If Pete Holmes maybe wants to sit down for
a second
or two.
Get Keith.
Or Keith. Or... Okay, Pete Holmes, everybody, from Crashing. The HBO television show Crashing is...
It's great.
Is, he's wandering over here slowly. I hate to ask, put him in a weird position and ask him to be on the show... Because he probably feels obligated.
Awesome.
No, Pete, over here. Over here.
You know what's funny, Natterman?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've written so many scenes for Crashing that you're in that you'll never see. I mean, you will see some of them, but things that get cut and stuff. And it's just like burns on you. I love writing a good Natterman burn.
Well, you mean by burn, you mean you're insulting me?
No, not insulting. Just kind of like you're a fun guy to razz with. You just wrote some roast jokes late night jokes for us. Obviously, we love you.
Yeah.
On the show.
But do you need more of those jokes, by the way? Because
I think so.
Okay. Because I sent these jokes over, but they need jokes for Crashing, and I sent a few over, and I didn't get a response like, "Oh, we need more. These suck."
I'm sorry. You know,
I didn't realize this is a networking podcast. I got nothing to offer.
That's the kind of wit we could use on the show.
Just do crappy articles for Lad Mag.
For what now?
Anyway, no. They've been very nice to me. They've been very nice to me.
No, I opened on the wrong foot. I didn't mean I'm always making fun of you. I imagine that I'm hanging out with you more than I actually hang out with you. That's what I meant.
No, that's fine. I wouldn't insult you anyway because they're being very nice to me on Crashing.
You're great on the show. Greer's been great on the show. That Greer scene was like, get an Emmy.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't insult Judd Apatow even if I wanted to right now. I wouldn't want to.
Not around me, you can't.
But I hate your success.
Say Judd Apatow did something I didn't like. I couldn't say shit.
Pete, it's by the way nice to finally meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm buddies with Joe DeRosa.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it is a networking podcast.
He's on a date right now.
I know. I invited him to come hang out like the old days. We'd get shithoused here and wish we could perform. And who are you? Have we met? Is this going to be one of those?
No.
She's from iHeart Radio.
I've
known this fella, the better of the Schultzes.
Thank you for calling me a fella.
Well, I think all Schultzes have their own qualities.
Caliber of awesomeness?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this one's like really
I'm the failure. Andrew is a success. That's the quality.
That was the dynamic.
But failure in it. But you're a failure in a in journalism, which means that's an honorable sort of a failure.
Thanks. Yeah. I wish I was a plumber.
You're in the Times.
Picasso didn't make any.
The Times.
Picasso didn't make money.
I'm working on a hard hitting one.
Everything you say makes me laugh. Are you in the Times?
He does a monthly article on
museums. I mean museums.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I hate to do this, but I had myself. A bit about I hate pretending that I like museums. I'm not going to do it.
No.
I'm just saying you should Google it.
It's a good bit.
You know, I went to a museum once with a young lady, and it came. It came time. Well, it wasn't a day, but it came time to.
I like museums.
For the you at the museums in New York, the entry fee is whatever you want.
Yeah.
So it's $20 suggested.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have to give $20. But if you're trying to get laid, you kind of got to give $20.
Yeah. How much money did you get?
Don't skimp on the plastic clear box.
You know, unless
you won't get any fleshy opaque box.
Unless she's like looking in another direction.
Okay. Brown's opaque.
Yeah,
it just means not. You're right to think that I was leaning towards a white woman, but not always.
Okay, cool.
I like it when we can expose Holmes as a racist.
That would be a scoop.
Holmes, can we talk briefly about how,
dark
if at
women's
all.
Vaginas.
What's that?
Can you talk briefly about dark women's
vaginas? Women's vaginas. What's going on? So I sometimes make fun of them on stage, and I'm like, ladies, don't back away. You know better than us. They're weird. That's a strange appendage. I said, like, we used to watch scrambled porn when I was a kid, like on the cable channel you didn't have. I was like, I've never seen a vagina that doesn't look scrambled.
Yeah.
Like, they always look like somebody just messed it up. I've never seen a hot tube vagina.
Some are certainly nicer than others. Some are some are quite lovely.
Clean it up,
others are.
Yeah, but dicks can take more wacky turns than vaginas.
Did you?
Is that true? Do you agree with that?
You're saying dicks can.
I'm saying there's more audibles to be called with a penis.
If only we had a woman here to ask.
I totally agree with
imagine
that.
Imagine if vaginas had absolutely. Balls. I mean, they could.
Yep.
See, I started talking like Dan. Imagine if vaginas had balls.
What happened with the gallery girl?
What happened? We're going up at the it's a suggested $20 or whatever it was, and you know, maybe I could have asked her to like look in another direction, like, hey, what's that over there? And then slip a 10 and say, okay, it's good.
Yeah. What you do?
I paid the full freight.
Nice.
But I still didn't get any.
Which
though.
Museum?
Turns out we were just friends, and just friends means I should have given
$5. Welcome to my world.
This was the Metropolitan Museum, I believe, which bored the shit out of me.
It's not that great.
I'm sitting there looking at these paintings. I'm sitting there looking at these paintings like,
too much Egypt.
I really appreciate
Egypt.
That's the part I really appreciate.
Is that all of Egypt? It's like a yard sale. You can leave with
just shows how much we raped them.
I like
and took everything, and I like it. Like, that's like when we're like,
oh boy.
That's your brand empire.
I like the arms and armor. Just like armor. And,
oh, I like that. Yep.
That's why you can get laid right there. Did you say that?
Arms and armor.
No, I tried to pretend that I like the fine art, but let's be honest about it, I don't. Pete Holmes, has your life changed at all since Crashing got on the air? I we live in our bubble here. I don't know how popular it is and whether you're being noticed on the street and so on.
My dad sometimes asks what the ratings are and stuff, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I do know, but I don't remember. It's good. It's doing good. It's doing very well.
And you're being recognized on the street?
Yes, I was walking with Birbiglia. We did spots here, and I walked, and he got so mad that I would get recognized a lot.
Like, was he really mad?
It was a particularly, like, heavy day. On the street? Yeah, on this street, and then we walked up to 14th. It's like heavy NYU, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's neighborhoods will spot you, not people. Neighborhoods notice
you. But we're in New York City. What if you say we're in Ottumwa, Iowa, home of Radar O'Reilly?
I was going to say. I think a Sikh noticed me. I looked at you, Brown.
Thank you.
A Sikh noticed me
again,
on the way over.
Exposing racism.
And I gave him, I know. No, but I'm also like bragging that I know what a Sikh is. That's kind of cool.
Also
that's
bragging good, about how Brown are
you, wait, are you, you're Hindu, right?
She's not Sikh.
I'm yes. That's
but you're,
a
around
type of
your
person.
Neck, you're wearing what looks to be a Palestinian.
Yeah, but everybody wears those.
I mean, I'm not a terrorist, if that's what you're getting
everybody
at.
Everybody wears
Arafat
those.
Actually gave that to her.
Okay.
It was one night only, but.
But the Sikh smiled at me real broad, and I wanted to say, please tell me I have a Sikh fan. But he had earphones in. But it made me really happy.
Yeah.
If I can get an old person, a black woman, an old Sikh, these are the ones I want.
You're
young white males. Who needs them? I'm just kidding.
You're finishing up this summer. You're finishing up season 2, taping season 2.
Yeah.
Well, do we know yet if there's going to be a season 3?
No, I mean, we just found out that they're season two, basically. But I mean, sure hope, sure planning on it. Writing season two as if there'll be a season three, so touch wood.
Here, in other words, cliffhangers at the end of every show. Will Dan Natterman, whatever.
You know? Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're in it. I'm excited. I don't know if you've seen...
I haven't seen the script.
Pages.
I haven't seen the script.
Use the industry term. Pages.
Oh, I'd never heard that term. I haven't seen the script. Ooh. I look forward to it.
Well, you're barely in the industry.
I wanted to burn you.
This is my first real role, by the way, because I've done, over the years, I've done a few things here and there, but it's always like I'm always like one-line Charlie.
Well, you do your, a lot of great comics and actors are get stuck in one-line Charlies. We're trying to fix that. You, will you please tell these people, you never do it, the bit about how your life is like a basketball game?
Is that, what bit is that? I don't even know that bit.
See, you don't even do it. This is my secret power. I remember, I go up to like Dumb David Offerman, I'm like, remember that?
Part of me thinks
it's
football.
Football.
It's basketball.
No, football, halftime.
Sure,
you think a halftime
bit? I'm pretty sure it was basketball.
No, halftime.
And you go, and it goes bad in the second half.
That's football.
You couldn't.
What's I'm saying, the bit? No, the bit is.
Okay, at least
that
you remember.
Life is like a football game.
And when it all goes bad in the second half.
And in the second half, you're going to lose. Because that's when life puts in its best players, and life is like chicken box. Get on the bench. Heart attack. Get out there. Let's have some hustle.
See, this is Parkinson's. This is when the Hindu should chime in and go, is death really a failure, or is it
so
part
many
of
arms.
Life?
Yeah. I mean,
what's that?
We make sure that we can take care of all of you guys.
All the facets of life.
Speak into the mic, please.
Oh, sorry.
I heart speaking into the mic, Mitch.
I heart. Hello.
I held on to that one.
Yeah.
I had that in my back.
Really
wow.
Since I'm not
you said
it.
I'm in
racism,
heart, like, I'm
racism in America, now that we have you here.
Yes.
As a person that might be confused with a Muslim, given your complexion.
Correct.
Have you felt Islamophobia?
Absolutely.
And how so?
Well, so I was born and raised here.
American is apple pie.
Yes, completely, because it mixed with curry.
Or the Hindu equivalent, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like a little
heat.
A
lot of spice.
A little heat on the apple pie.
Yeah. After 9/11, my father, actually, who was part of the whole thing and took care of some people during the whole whatever, wound up being attacked and being called racial slurs and religious slurs, and we're Hindu and born and raised here and we're full-on American, but because of the color of my skin, we were judged. So.
And what is the color of your skin? I am colorblind. I don't see race.
Yes.
I am talking to a human.
It is a caramel, a delightful.
It is a delightful caramel.
It's
caramel.
More of a
you
toffee.
Say caramel?
I like toffee.
It is toffee. Very nice.
Right?
That's so sad. I hate that. My a good friend of mine is black, and she just told me that Airbnb, I gotta admit it, it's my assistant. My assistant is black. But here's why. I go, can you book us this thing? Just use the card. And she goes, you don't want me to do that. Because they'll see my photo and they won't. And I was like, shit.
Yeah,
wow,
that's
that
crazy.
I never,
absolutely.
Like, believe me, I'm a white male, but I read, but I'm still, that was like so close
that's
to the bone.
That's crazy. No, that's like
they
a common thing.
They can shut off on a lot of Airbnb once they see the profile. Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely a thing.
Super sad. Yeah. Super fucked up. Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry for your dad. That's very sad.
But
that's
isn't it cool that we're white, though? I mean, we still look great.
I don't want to hide
actually,
front,
Bill, you're,
no, I can't
to
do that.
Point out, you're really, really tan. You're actually darker than me right now.
That's true.
Yeah, that's so sad.
And Pete is... As white as it gets, he's from the Midwest.
No, I'm not from the Midwest. I look like I'm from the Midwest.
Where are you from?
It's funny, I was just writing a joke about how I look like I'm corn-fed.
Yeah. Where
I look
are
like
you
I
from?
I was squatted out in a field of dreams. I'm from Boston. You wouldn't have guessed it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hanley is the... And
I'm
Hanley's,
sorry for my people. Yeah.
Hanley's from the Midwest equivalent in Canada, I guess. Oshawa, Ontario sounds like...
Yeah, Ontario, I guess that's similar to the Midwest, yeah.
Canadians aren't white, though. They're Canadians. It's like another thing.
It's true. It's a whole other thing.
It
it's
is.
A whole other thing.
When you say a white guy, you mean a kid in Iowa City. You don't mean Ottawa.
Yeah, you don't mean it.
You
like,
guys are up there.
Some bilingual kid in Iowa. Or Iowa. You know what I mean?
You certainly don't mean bilingual kid.
Yeah.
No. White people, in that sense, there's a certain image that we have, and it's not bilingualness.
No.
Well, are you bilingual? You speak French?
No, I'm not. I wish I was.
Yeah,
no,
the truth about Canadians is most of them don't speak any French at all outside of Quebec. And even within Quebec, a lot of them, their French is very poor.
But you know what? There's more little like pockets of like French communities throughout the country. Like there's one outside of Winnipeg and stuff like that that you don't, on the Maritimes,
yes, there
people
are,
speak
like,
French.
Franco-Ontarians, Manitobians. And
this,
stuff.
Is, this is an area of panic for me. When a Canadian starts to tell me where they're from, I'm like, leave me alone. If it's not like north of Seattle. I can't help you. Like, please stop.
It's not Calgary.
Nobody.
Your country looks like someone spilled a country.
Nobody.
You know what I mean? It's all these little islands.
But Americans are often criticized for that. But Canadians don't know. Like, if you said you're from, I don't know, someplace in the Midwest. Some guy from Saskatchewan is not going to know exactly where that is.
I love likely. That. Thank you for that honesty.
Will they know where Des Moines, Iowa is? They will have heard of Des Moines.
If they live near the border, and that's where they go shopping or whatever. But right. If you said some town in Oregon, someone in Quebec is not going to know where that is.
Were Canadians insulted when nobody moved there after Trump was elected? When people just
look. That's a very good question.
They just say,
you think they were waiting for us with balloons and cannons?
I don't know that they were waiting, but they must have been a little insulted when we said, what?
We watch American news, so
I ain't going there.
The Canadians watch American news, and they weren't really excited for people to come.
Yeah. They weren't excited for us to come, but it's still insulting. Look, if a girl that I'm not into doesn't like me, I'm still insulted. So
yeah,
you may not be into us coming there, but you're still a little insulted that we said, we'll ride it out with Trump.
Yeah. No one was insulted.
I would think
it would be. No.
But again, Americans, all these people that said they're moving to Canada decided that they would rather stay here than be in Canada.
Well, the alternative is Mexico. And they still have Club Meds. You don't
no
get beheaded there.
Mexico.
They have really bad drinking water, though.
Yeah, that's racist. I mean, somebody in Texas going all the way across the country to go to Canada. Mexico's like 20-minute drive.
Mexico's 20-minute drive.
And there's no Trump there.
Look. Yeah,
They have better weather.
Again, what do they do to the Americans once they get there? There is something to think about.
They don't
that.
Speak Spanish.
I don't think we're great in Mexico.
An experience.
They don't speak Spanish.
Our Q rating is not good in Mexico.
I had a guy, one of the border guys. I was crossing the border, and he said if Hillary got elected, he was going to move to Canada. So both sides were making that threat.
All right.
Wait, who said that?
Some guy at the border.
And
he's still at the border.
Yeah. No, like he worked for the Border Patrol or whatever. Made the opposite.
You know what's
threat.
Fucked up about Canada is I've known people that went all the way up to the border to go to the festival or do a comedy club, and they were told when they got to the border, you can't come in because you have some record. You did
DUI. It's the same thing.
Whether
it's the same when Canadians cross.
Well, but that's not my concern.
Well, that's
my concern
being selfish.
How selfish are
you?
Here's
the difference is when you cross, most Canadians live near the American border, so it's like, all right, I'll go back. It's an hour drive back to Toronto.
Yeah.
People drive all the way to the border.
Well, if you live in northern Maine, that's true.
Yeah.
If you live in Seattle, that's true.
All right, but what about if you live down
here? The border goes both ways, Dan.
It does.
What if you live down in New York City? You go all the way up to New York.
You
all
are
the way
just
to
making this about you.
Yeah, this is about
what if you live on 3rd Street in apartment
7? What if you do live on 3rd Street? Yeah. But what I don't understand is
what happened to you?
I'd like to talk about this on season 3, Holmes, so if you'll have me.
Why can't we?
Yeah, I feel like that's where it's coming.
Why can't we call them up ahead of time and say, look, I'm coming to the border. Let me know now. You're going to let me in or not?
Yeah.
You're going to be a cocksucker? Or can I
stay home? Well, if you have a DUI, they might not let you in. That happens a lot.
But they can't tell you ahead of time. You got to go all the way up there.
If you don't remember you have a DUI, not getting into Canada is only one of your problems.
Exactly.
Right.
No, but you can't call them up ahead of time and say, I got a DUI. Here's the deal. I got a DUI.
Are you being a tight ass today?
Your own discretion.
Is there going to be a fucking problem with you people?
Do you have a DUI?
What do you mean, you people?
Well, you know what I mean by you people.
Canadians.
This is the reverse racism I keep telling you about.
Yeah, I feel it.
Is this live?
No, it's not live. Do you know that Phil Hanley is an American? He has a green card.
I have a green card.
Do you still have your Canadian citizenship?
At the moment, yeah. I don't have American citizenship. I'm going to apply in like a year.
Oh, you don't have
the
American citizenship. You have a Canadian citizenship and a green card.
Yeah, but I will apply for American citizenship.
You will be denied.
No. The beard is making you look vaguely Mexican, so you're not going to get it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Let me give you a heads up. Denied.
Phil is so proud to be American now.
It was a big moment. Even my dad said it was one of the proudest moments of his life when I got my green card.
This is how badass... Yeah. Let's be clear. This is how badass America is that even the Canadians want to come. Canada's a great country.
Yeah, but it's because I'm in show business. If I did anything else, I'm sure I would stay in Canada.
Like
but you said you were proud,
exactly.
And proud means more than just you're here for the show business.
Oh, absolutely. No. But I guess I shouldn't say that. I wanted to live in the States since I was a kid. I don't know. I just had this thing. My family came to the States a lot. and stuff. But that's not
But you see
normal.
People... Well, no, I don't think it's abnormal. I know a lot of Canadians want to be... And we all know French, but Gad Elmaleh, who's French, who lives here now.
I wanted to live in Canada until I turned 21. And then I made it. Buy 18 bars there.
We go to Canada. Yeah. Nobody goes there to live unless there's a draft.
That is true. That is true.
Unfortunately.
You're our hiding place.
We are, yeah.
America, warts and all, is still... People still dream of coming here.
Yeah.
In a way that
and
I...
And what is it really? What is it really?
I think we're just cool. We're just playing cool.
I don't know. I think we've lost the cool card.
Yeah.
I really think we have. Like, I think...
I mean, what don't they have in Canada? Opportunities for showbiz.
Yeah, that's the big one.
And it's got to be... Well, the American dream, according to Shark Tank, is still doing very well.
Yeah.
Well, you can have a chapstick that tastes different when you kiss someone else with a different chapstick.
We don't have a New York City.
Make $1 million.
We don't have a New York City. We don't have...
you don't have a Southern California.
Yeah.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
You don't have a Frisco. And also, America's still kicking ass technologically. You know, GPS was a pretty much American invention.
Yeah, we're doing surprisingly well.
You know,
well
we got Google, we got Apple. We still got a lot of badass shit going down here.
Yep.
You guys have Rush. You know, the band Rush.
I think what you have, though, correct me if I'm wrong, is you have, like, kids leaving their bikes on the lawn and... I'm not just quoting Michael Moore. I'm like
yeah.
Zach Galifianakis has a place up there, and the stories he tells are very
But no one dreams of
idyllic.
That as a kid. No one dreams of having a bike that they can leave unlocked.
But their kids are free
I
to
still
dream.
About
it
that.
Is. It
they
is.
They don't have to worry about crime. I don't know why it's JFK.
I thought that was Senator Mayor Quimby.
Mayor Quimby was based on JFK. How dare you?
Ich bin Canadian.
It can be 2 days.
Just Canadian. It doesn't inspire passion that you can leave your door unlocked.
And I don't know anyone that leaves the door unlocked, by the way.
I didn't even say that. I just wanted you to know that that's not my source material.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like a time with lakes and families that have people over for supper. It's like
Canada's amazing. Pod is like legal there basically now. And
we
and
all love Montreal.
It's progressive. Montreal's,
we all, you know, the comedy festival every year in Montreal, we all love it.
Yeah.
Great city.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's not Montreal. That's a hotel in Expectations. That we all act like Montreal experts. I know one Chinese restaurant and 17 venues.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know your country.
I know Montreal fairly
I know a club
extensively,
where
though. And it's a great town. It is a great town.
Your strip clubs, instead of stamping your hand, they just put a human vagina on your hand. It's a little
one thing
moist.
About Quebec, and I don't know.
Human
if
vagina.
One thing about Canada
vagina.
Is the strip clubs are very good.
Yeah,
you
that's
can be
so
all
creepy.
Nude
don't
and lick
say that. Don't talk about that, Dan. I don't want to think about you with your little boy legs getting a lap dance.
Well, look, I.
Do you go? So
I don't want to think about anybody doing it, but not you. Either.
When you go to JFL, do you go to strip bars?
No, typically not. But I've been to in Toronto. I was at For Your Eyes Only. It was wonderful.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a strip club, and the girls are gorgeous. And
other than that, no.
I don't love strip clubs in general, but if you're a strip club
Me
guy,
neither.
Canada is great.
Here's the thing. Here's a little strip club trivia. In the song Girls, 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 Motley Crue, they list all the strip bars in Vancouver.
Really?
Yep, because they recorded...
There's got to be a faster way to find them. You got to listen to 2 minutes of Girls, Girls,
Girls.
Girls.
The whole, you forget what album it's on. You have to listen to the whole Motley Crue catalog.
There it is.
Yeah. Before Google, all we had was Motley Crue.
It's not on Shout of the Devil.
Motley Krugel.
Before Google, yeah, it was Motley Krugel.
I'm the creep, though. I don't know what to do. I've been to the Super Sex and all that. I try to be normal, but I'm the weirdo that goes, what's your real name? That's the creep.
That's
a creepy thing.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And then I just want to, I've literally said this. I wouldn't do this now. I just wouldn't go. But when I did go and I was like ambiguous about how I felt about it, I'd be like, they'd be like, you want to dance? And they'd go, I'll give you the money. Just don't, I don't want the dance. Just here's the money.
You're trying to save them and take
I'm
them
I'm trying
away
to
them.
Save them. It's
called the pretty in pink. The pretty woman.
It's
the
a creepy woman. Richard Gere syndrome.
But you know what? It's only creepy if you're broke.
They didn't mind.
If you got $100 million, it's not creepy at all. They're happy to talk to you.
It's called a talk job is what it is. I learned that from Taxi Driver. It's a talk job. It's weird men like me. With sexual baggage from faith that would rather talk to them and have them be like, my name's Nicole, and that's your good time. I would go to a bar like they have in Japan where girls just hang out and they're paid just to talk to you and be interested. There's
the
no sex.
It's like
the geisha thing. But it's also been kind of modernized where you just go and there are pretty girls there. Nothing happens. They just hang out with you.
You should just go to an open mic here in New York. You have a TV show. They'll be on. They'll be lining up to talk to you.
I'm going down. That was Pete Holmes.
Oh, that was Pete Holmes. You're going to perform. We have to. It's actually 8:05, which means.
Let's not forget my Canada joke. That was
and
a classic.
Watch Crashing on HBO.
Yes, please watch it. It's on HBO Go. It'll be on iTunes in a couple weeks. Okay. Thank you, Dan. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And thanks for the role. I don't know whose idea that was, if it was you or Judd, but somebody decided that.
Bye, Pete.
To put me in the show. Anyway, we're all done here. But thank you,
we're
Phil.
We're done?
Well, yeah, we're done. We do an hour. And we're
okay.
Yeah. Thank you,
for
Bill
me.
Schultz.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
I'm the lesser Schultz.
Well, Andrew I don't perceive it that way.
Yeah, believe me, my family does.
And your yeah. beautiful friend doesn't perceive it that way.
No, not at all. Thank you. Well, I mean, sometimes
call,
I do. I've known
I,
him for
I feel like you're just going to call her my shopping buddy right now. You're outing me. Yeah.
We're friend-zoned. We're totally friend-zoned.
Is that
you're
a mutual friend-zone?
Is that forever? Is that definite?
I do like to ask him who tickled his balls during the day, and it's usually a man. So right. I think it could be of a gay tendency.
Feels like you guys are flirting.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
it's bad flirting.
Phil Hanley, this is, I believe, your second time on our show, and we thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Okay, brother. That's it for us. We'll see you next time on the Comedy Cellar Show, live from the table. Thank you.